This is Practice Dates, a Stranger Things fanfic written by NB Future Boy and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing L. Dustin Anderson, with additional tags for T for Dustin's bad language, LMAO, fluff, accidental relationship negotiation, developing relationship, friendship, first kiss, didn't know they were dating. Post season 4. Minor Will Byers, Mike Wheeler. Summary. After Mike and Eleven break up for good, Elle gets kinda down in the dumps about her people skills. Dustin offers to lend a hand. Author's notes. Wrote this over a feverish 30 hours because I'm haunted by the narrative. Enjoy! It's a little before noon on Sunday, during which Dustin is engrossed with making his tortoise a tiny tortoise hat, just for the hell of it, when the phone rings. Not too unusual. But then his mom calls out, "Dustin! It's for you!" Which is weird, because most of his friends prefer radioing to using the phone. Basically, he's already on high alert before he even picks up the handset. "Hello?" he asks, very gingerly. "Dustin, it's me." "Oh, Elle," he says, relieved. Because even if that's the most unhelpful phone greeting ever, there's no mistaking her clipped tone or blunt manner. "Hey, good morning. Everything okay?" "Yes," she says, drawing it out, like she's uncertain about it. "No, I don't know." "Kinda sounds like something's wrong," he points out. "Wanna hang out? If you don't feel like talking, then it might be a good distraction." "I would like to do that," Elle agrees. "Can we walk?" Shit, she must be feeling upset. Elle likes to remind herself that she's free when she starts feeling bad, and that usually involves some form of wandering around Hawkins. Obviously, he's gonna say yes. "Sure, a walk is a great idea. Wanna hit the train tracks?" he suggests. "It's a full circuit. It'll take us right back around to your place." There's no hesitation whatsoever. "Yes," she says firmly. "Where shall I meet you?" "Top of the quarry," he says, trying to remember what the shortest distance is for her to get into town. "Otherwise, you'll have to walk extra. Catch you in 20, okay?" He's already pulling on his shoes before Elle can say goodbye. It's a Sunday. That's a really boring day to sit around being mopey. Dustin's got half a mind to call in the cavalry, but somehow inviting the rest of the party to cheer Elle up doesn't sound like the best idea in the world. Maybe at school tomorrow they can do something, but not today. At the top of the quarry, nowhere near the edge, thank God, they're using the footpath. Elle's already waiting for him, tall and slim and silhouetted against the sun. She turns to look at him when his footsteps get loud and crunchy. These days, she's keeping her hair cropped short and feminine until it's a more level length again, and it's gelled almost completely flat, transforming it into a stylish wave. It was a joint effort between Steve and Erica. After some practice, Elle can press away the curls without any issues at all. It really suits her. Dustin told her she looked like Jane Wideland from the Go-Go's, and she'd turned a really pleased shade of pink. The first thing she says to him when they fall into step is, "You have paper stuck to your shirt." He picks it off. "Oops. Yeah, I was making a tiny hat for Yertle. You caught me in the middle of gluing the seams together." "Yertle? My tortoise," he explains. "The one in the tank in my room." She seems fascinated by the idea of this. "Do tortoises normally wear hats?" she asks. "No, but he's..." Dustin holds the punchline for a second. a party animal. Elle doesn't get it. That's okay. I would like to see a tortoise party, she decides, and kicks some leaves caught on the inside of the train tracks. Is it Yertle's birthday? Nah, he's just a fancy little guy. He celebrates life every day. I wish I was better at that, she mutters. At what? Dustin asks. Damn, there's glue stuck to his hands, too. This isn't the best state he's ever left a house in. Life, says Elle. The corners of her mouth turn down. Dustin stops walking and stares at her. He can't think of what else to do, because that's the heaviest response he's ever heard her give out of nowhere. Elle frowns right on back. What is it? I'm just checking something, says Dustin, and gives her an obvious once over. Can you yell for me right now? I'm sorry? Yell for me. He repeats. Just do a big cheer or a wahoo or something. Pretend you're at a kick-ass party hosted by my tortoise. Okay, Elle says uncertainly, drawing her shoulders back. Wahoo? Louder, Dustin encourages. Wahoo! She cheers and punches the air a little bit. Ah, cute, but not what Dustin's looking for. Come on, Elle, you can do better than that, he scoffs. We've all seen you doing the shrieky thing with your hand stretched out. Match that volume and up the ante by, 100 points more joy. Give me a serious cheer, damn it! Elle inhales. Woohoo! Yeah! Dustin crows. She jumps up and down, yelling in jubilation. Yeah! 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 Okay, Dustin cackles, trying to catch his breath. You passed with flying colors. It's just as I expected. What is it? She asks worriedly. They start walking again. Your lungs are fine, Dustin grins. I figure if you're still breathing, then you're perfectly good at life. Oh, Elle says. And laughs a little bit, and shrugs. It is more about Mike. Son of a bitch! Dustin will never be qualified to handle that particular subject. But unfortunately, he's here, because Elle called him for reassurance, so he'll just have to do his best. Is it the breakup? He asks. I thought that was going well. It is, she says. And kicks at some more leaves. It went well. Very well. Really well. Too well? He asks tentatively, and she nods. Yes. We are friends. Best friends. He helps me with homework. We have movie nights in the Wheeler's house with the party, and share snacks. Mike is happy, she says. I am not happy. So what? You're still in love with him? No, Elle says forcefully. And yeah, good. Dustin's hoping that Mike and Elle aren't going to make a huge mess of each other's psyche, but holy shit, if the power of her certainty doesn't make the whole track tremble for a second. We are not in love. We agreed. I think he likes somebody else, but it's better this way. Oh, man. He makes a tactical decision not to ask about who Mike's crushing on. Why aren't you happy, then? Dustin says instead. Is it just that you miss him or something? I don't know, she mumbles. Huh. Looks like Dustin's gonna have to be a little vulnerable to get the ball rolling here. Jane Hopper's got some soul-searching to do. I know how you feel, he says, and Elle eyes him dubiously. Seriously, I promise I do. When Susie and I broke up, it somehow felt worse that it had worked out fine, right? I was expecting a huge explosion of arguing, but it turns out we were on the same page. Now we're better friends than ever. But that doesn't mean it didn't suck, he adds. Because believe me, it sucked. Royally. And it took us a while to get to where we are now. Things were weird for ages. Elle considers this. Eventually, she looks pleased. Yeah, she says quietly. I think Mike and I will be fine. But I don't know if I will get to be a girlfriend ever again. This is too much. Jesus! You don't think anyone's gonna date you? Shut up, Elle. Look at you. You're a catch. I'm bad at it, she insists. It comes with practice, Dustin says, hand-waving the entire idea of Elle being a shitty girlfriend. Happens to almost everyone. You get older, you date around, you figure out what you hate, and you figure out how to suss out people you like. I don't think you can be bad at life if you're only in freshman year. As ever, Elle fixates on one part of the sentence. Practice. Yeah, he tells her. Practice. Someday you'll go on dates that aren't with Mike, and there'll be an experience that helps you date even better in the future. Right? Can you help me? Elle asks. Dustin scrutinizes her. She's being honest about the request. Help you practice for dates? He asks, just to make sure. And she confirms. I don't know. I don't exactly have a lot of experience. I might be terrible too, you know? Then we can practice together, she pleads. Dustin, it's scary. I have only just been brave enough to go to Hellfire Club. Which is fair. Elle doesn't like big crowds, because she doesn't know what to do in them. Dustin totally gets it, too, because she lived in a controlled lab for the first decade of her life, and every time she saw people for the next 3 years, something went horribly awry. Okay, he shrugs, and she lights up instantly. Okay, we can figure out some places to go. We'll practice some date stuff. It'll be fun. It will be fun, she agrees. And they keep walking, all the way down the track, making plans. The first practice date is at the diner on Center Street, which just opened up after Starcourt literally collapsed. Lucas and Will are headed to the library with Lucy Weller from their civics class. Mike's going home to sulk, according to Max, and Max hitched a lift home with Eddie tonight. Which leaves Dustin and Elle to try to figure out the new-ish diner. Dustin's not been there before. It's as good a time as any to criticize the menu. Not that there's much to criticize. This, Elle says emphatically, pointing at her milkshake with wide eyes, is amazing. Which one did you get again? The one with the ice cream in it. She pushes it over. Try it. Try it. Son of a bitch, that is good, Dustin says toward the straw. You definitely have the food down pat for a date, I'm telling you right now. Of course she does. This is Elle we're talking about, Dustin thinks. She's demolished a whole stack of waffles, without even making a scene either, and she's clearly ordered the best drink the establishment has to offer. I guess, she shrugs, and commandeers her shake again. But I don't know how to talk to people. Oh, come on. What are you even saying right now? You're talking to me and you're completely fine, Dustin points out. I am? Yeah, you're doing great. But that's you, says Elle. I already know you, and you know how I talk. So? Date someone who knows how you talk, then, Dustin suggests. And Elle concentrates on the idea, as if she'd never thought about it that logically before. Maybe she hasn't. There's a whole wide world of people to meet, romantically or otherwise, that only opened up for her this year, really. If she's only learning about relationships from TV or whatever, then maybe she's got a big belief in that fairy tale meet cute crap that happens in Dustin's mom's soaps. That's okay. He can make it clear. Sometimes, he starts, on the day they have a picnic in Dustin's backyard. People are friends before they date. Or enemies, even. It can happen to anybody. Look at Max and Lucas. Max thought he was super annoying at first. Elle pauses mid-chew, her sandwich held up to her chin. Max thinks he's super annoying now, she reminds him. Eh, that's true. Have you got enough blanket? She swallows before she answers. Yes. I think I am understanding normal dates better now. You are? Elle's wearing a bright yellow blouse and brown cords. She kind of looks like a sunflower, especially when she decides to lay back against the picnic blanket, squinting against the sunshine. They involve eating, she announces, and Dustin bursts out laughing. It kind of becomes a weekly thing for them, twice weekly even. Sometimes the others tag along. They spend a whole afternoon in World Records with Max and Lucas sifting through cassettes. And the following Monday, Eddie and Erica help Elle flesh out her Hellfire character after school. Hell, even Mike stops sulking for whatever reason, and Dustin can see that Elle's totally right. He does seem happier. Now that the civics project has been handed in, Will and Lucas have more time to spend with them all, instead of writing their assignment together. Sometimes, Dustin and Elle's practice dates are fully in public, surrounded by people. Elle's always a little wary, but she's probably going to be like that for a while. I know how to be scared of people now, she confesses to him one day, after breaking down her fear of diners. Benny first, being taken back to Papa in California second. When I went to Chicago, I didn't know. When Max and me went to Starcourt Mall, I was too busy enjoying being outside. Now, she says, I do not want to be noticed. Well, you don't have to do dates out in the open, Dustin says to her, and tries to come up with something similar to the picnic. They try the arcade one time, which is A, loud, B, a lot of fun, and C, extremely expensive. Elle and Dustin both agree that it's a good activity, but it probably shouldn't be a frequent one. On the other hand, family video hasn't let them down yet, so Dustin bikes over on Saturday morning. Steve and Robin are working, and they always slip him the staff discount. Super nice of them. What he saves in currency, he pays for in idiocy, though. I just think it'd be easier if you headed into the city to date once in a while, Robin says, draping herself over the counter. What's the worst that could happen, Steve? Murder. Car crash. Black ice. Armed robbery, he lists off, slamming another Disney movie onto an ever-growing stack of VHS tapes. They could be a cannibal. They could be a vampire. They could be a Sagittarius, Robin adds. Exactly. There's no knowing that what people write in the personal ads is the truth, says Steve. He's examining the back of another animated classic. I'm not chancing it. Never go near that shit. But then you're stuck here, she reminds him, taking a second to slap Dustin's hand away from the snack display. Hey, I was gonna try and buy those. No, you weren't. Don't try and lie to me, little twerp. Robin rolls over, until she's flat on her back over the curve of the counter and spreads her arms out. What do people even do that's romantic in Hawkins? I don't know, Steve mutters. That's Don Quixote over there. And he jabs a thumb at Dustin. What the actual hell? You're thinking of Don Juan, you complete troglodyte, Dustin says irritably. But you get points for pronouncing it right, Robin tacks on. Your recommendations get better every time I check, man. I'm so proud of you. Steve pretends to laugh. Shut up, Robin, he mutters. I'm just saying, Dustin's had a lot of girl time penciled in lately. He's racking up the numbers. He's more prolific than even you, Robin says dreamily. I'm going to force feed you this copy of Snow White, I swear to God. Whoa, 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 says Dustin, who is hearing this opinion for the first time. What do you mean, girl time? I'm hanging out with Elle. Yeah, Steve says, like it's obvious. That's not girl time, that's friend time. You should try it, Dustin bites back. Very funny. I have friends, he snarks. Sometimes they're even cool people who don't try to annoy me to death. If you're talking about Eddie, then that's definitely a lie, says Dustin. I'm serious, Steve. This isn't girl time or whatever. They're just practice dates. Robin splutters. They're what? Practice dates, he repeats patiently. Elle wants to get used to doing date activities and having different conversations and being in public for when she actually likes someone. We're not dating. I'm helping her practice. There's a clatter. Steve snorts and tosses another Disney movie across the counter for shelving. Yeah, he remarks. I've used that one before. Give it up, Henderson. You and Elle are totally dating. We are not! Robin sits painfully upright. The phrase, practice dates, seems to have hit her like a bolt of gleeful, hilarious lightning. You have been spending loads of time together, she says. Didn't you rent Superman on Wednesday? Yes, Dustin says stiffly. That had been another practice date. They'd gone to the family video, picked out something easy, and watched it at Elle's house with pizza and popcorn. It had been really fun, too, because they'd fought over the cushions and laughed until they cried at Clark Kent flailing his way throughout running a train. I can't actually date Elle, though, Dustin tells them. Aside from the obvious bitching I had to put up with from Mike, she likes pineapple on pizza. And yet you still let her order it, apparently, Robin smirks. Well, duh, she didn't know you could order half toppings, says Dustin, because once he'd found that out, they couldn't pass up the novelty of it. The pineapple was only on her half. I thought Argyle would have taught her better than that. Robin scrunches up her face thoughtfully. I don't think Argyle is a half-and-half kind of guy. He seems like the type to go all in. Like you, with your totally not a date dates, Steve tacks on. I never said that. They're practice dates, he corrects. Like, yeah, they're dates, but I'm not taking Elle on a date. No, she's taking you, says Robin. Son of a bitch. These two are trying to kill him. Dustin leaves without renting anything. The bike ride home is sobering. Robin and Steve aren't wrong, per se. Elle and him have been on a whole freaking lot of practice dates. Like, 10 or more, probably. They've grabbed ice cream after school, and pancakes. And just last week, they'd done something so simple. They'd hung around the main square and talked forever. He doesn't even know what they'd been talking about. Just that the conversation had been ceaselessly interesting and funny. And then he'd walked her home, all the way to Hopper's cabin that he'd fixed up for Elle and the Byers family. When they'd gotten to the dirt track leading up to the drive, Elle had beamed, pressed a kiss against the side of his face, and darted her way towards the porch. Dustin's face had felt hot all the way home. Shit ass and shit ass. Steve and Robin might be onto something. It pains him to admit it to himself, and it's gonna be even worse to acknowledge if they're right about this. Ugh. The easiest way to deal with the problem, regrettably, and this is always the case, is to talk about it outright. Dustin's not gonna do that stupid thing Mike does where he avoids people, or that stupid thing Lucas does where he dances around a subject instead of actually addressing it, or that stupid thing Max does where she says things defensively and turns her point into more of a stab. Will's fine. Will keeps things to himself until he's sure they won't blow up in his face, and Dustin can definitely respect that. He doesn't think Elle's gonna blow up at him, though. Of course he doesn't. Even so, it is pretty daunting to try and do. The next practice date doesn't even become a practice date until halfway through organizing it. It's like they suddenly remembered to tack practice on the front of it once they'd arranged the time and place. Elle comes over to Dustin's house after school to paint the miniature Eddie snagged for her Hellfire character. And as it turns out, she's really good at it. I can't believe you're so precise. This is insane. I started painting in California, she says, adding a couple of gold streaks to the hair and eyeing the final details. Will does big canvases. I paint little things. You're amazing. I'm serious, Dustin grins. He's been working on a troll they can use for encounters, but he hasn't been concentrating on it very well. It's perfect for Hellfire. You're going to blow Garrett's mind with this. He's the best painter, he adds. He's done like hundreds of them. I haven't done hundreds, Elle says firmly, but I have practiced. Yeah, says Dustin, because speaking of practice, he's got something he needs to psych himself up to ask, preferably as naturally as possible, but, well, Elle's looking at him weirdly because his mouth has been running this entire time. Lots of practicing going on lately, huh? Lots of practicing. You're going to master everything you put your mind to in no time at all. How about that? Beat us all in a competition of, everything. You know? What are you talking about? She asks him. Nothing, Dustin says quickly. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, can I ask you something super awkward? It doesn't have to be a thing, but it's a way more awkward thing if I don't bring it up, so you know what? I'm just gonna ask it. Elle's expression, carefully schooled into confusion, is overtaken with alarm. Yes? Are we? He starts, and reconsiders everything three times before finally committing to it very quickly. Are we dating? Are we dating? Elle repeats. Yeah, it kind of feels like practicing is going too well, he admits. I was just wondering, but are we, like, actually dating? She sets down the miniature and the tiny paintbrush and sits back. Elle's clearly thinking about this very hard and very seriously. Which is good news. It's serious business. Eventually, she sets her jaw, and a decision is reached. I don't know. Dustin's entire body scrapes with cool relief. Oh my god, right? He bursts out. Me neither! Awesome, so we're on the same wavelength here. God, that's a weight off my mind. Elle does that thing where she stares up through her eyelashes intensely. Do you want us to be dating? She asks him. Oh, I don't know, he says honestly. We're friends, so that's good. I think. I was wondering what you thought, really. I haven't thought, Elle tells him. With some probably unintentionally intense eye contact that makes Dustin feel embarrassed about his feelings. I was afraid I didn't know how to be a good girlfriend. I didn't think about you being a good boyfriend.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Well, we don't have to go there straight away, Dustin says, because Hopper might maul him like a demodog, and then his mom would have to get a replacement son like she did with Muse and Twos, which means her new kid's name would have to be Dostin. Yikes. We could just go on a couple dates, like we've already been doing, and see where we are after that. And they wouldn't have to be practice. They could be real. I think that's what most adults do, he adds thoughtfully. Oh, says Elle. Then she leans in conspiratorially. Can you go on dates without dating?
Yeah, look at Steve. He goes on dates all the time, and he hasn't got a girlfriend.
She purses her mouth in agreement, nodding.
It's really funny that Elle doesn't think Steve is cool in the slightest.
Okay, she says. But you do not have to be Steve forever. That would be disappointing.
Really?
Dustin asks. And she nods again, trying to hold back a smile.
Huh. Well, he hadn't been expecting that, but that's an astonishing turn of events when it comes to the luck Dustin has socially. He's not in a hurry to question her conviction, put it that way.
She puts the lids back on the figurine paints. Should we tell people?
Maybe, Dustin says. I think giving our friends a heads up is probably a good idea. I guess I should let Mike know first, he adds. I hope he doesn't lose a shit.
I don't think he'll be mad, Elle says carefully.
Oh yeah, you mentioned he'd been looking at someone else. How's that progressing?
Today, he is at the movies.
Oh, sounds like that's going swimmingly, he grins.
Then he falters.
Ah, shit, I guess I should let Will know too, now he's your brother and all. That'd be a nasty surprise otherwise. He'd feel like we didn't trust him. I gotta know Will's okay with...
She shifts in her seat nervously.
Will is also at the movies, Elle mumbles. A double date? He asks incredulously. Damn! Nobody's been telling Dustin anything in return. This is rude as hell. Congrats to Will, though. It's about time he had a nice time on a date with someone. Byers! At the movies! Damn, I didn't know he had it in him.
Dustin, Elle says quietly.
Mike and Will are at the movies.
Then she stares at him again, raising her eyebrows toward the ceiling, as if she's saying with her face, do you understand?
Shit. Yep, he understands. Oh, he blurts out. Oh, shit.
You can't tell anyone, Elle says.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that, Eleven. That's their thing. It's different if they don't tell us, because... Well, actually, neither of them are allowed to lose their shit with us now, he decides.
Is that why you and Mike...
Jesus, what a mess.
I think it is just Mike who is the mess, Elle says bluntly.
And Dustin snorts into his fist.
What?
No, you're totally right. Guy must have gotten his wires crossed when the Upside Down first showed up. Or had two wires, maybe. I don't know how it works.
And he probably won't ask him about the mechanics of crushes on guys either.
I did have boy hair, Elle admits. Yeah, Dustin grins. And it was cute. You want to play home salon for our next date? Shave it all off?
He reaches for her gelled hairstyle, and she bats his hand away, simultaneously horrified and sputtering with laughter. I'm serious. It suited you. I think we can go even deeper. Shave it way down so there's nothing. You look like those posters Jonathan used to have of those punks stomping around in huge boots. No. Elle giggles, clutching her hair, until feathery tufts of it tease free between her fingers. I'm growing it out! It won't be like this forever. Dustin's ribs hurt from laughing. He's about to crack some other joke about shaving her hair. Elle would still look amazing, and he'd fight anyone who didn't agree. But his mom calls across the house that Elle's ride is here, and they have to scramble to pack up the paints. Jonathan's car is at an angle in the driveway, and Jonathan's sat in the cabin, tapping against the steering wheel. We could get another rental later this week? Dustin asks her, as they stumble toward the porch with their arms full of D&D supplies. Or we could go to the movies, too, if you wanted. I think that John Hughes movie Steve likes is still showing. Elle nods, and her smile makes her eyes crinkle up. The sun hitting her from the open door makes her silhouette glow in gold. I would like that, she says. Cool, says Dustin, and leans on the doorway, just in case he accidentally manages to be cooler that way. I'll see you later, then. Yeah, she says, and leans into his space, leaving Dustin frozen, because before he can figure out what's happening in this situation, Elle's leaving a warm, quick kiss directly against his mouth and drawing back as quickly as she'd approached. Holy shit! See you later, she says, pressing her lips together and fighting back a smile. Okay, Dustin manages. And then she's gone, stepping lightly down the porch and backing toward the passenger side of Jonathan's car. He's seen everything. But to be honest, Dustin's too stunned to be self-conscious about it. This is despite the fact that Jonathan's definitely laughing right now. Hi, Dustin, he says from behind one of his thumbs. Dustin waves dumbly. Hey, Jonathan. Jesus Christ! Just wait until Lucas and Max hear about this one. Actually, Elle might have Max covered on the information front, so Dustin might confide in Erica instead. She might laugh at him too, but it'll be less embarrassing than Jonathan doing it. Dustin closes the door and has to rest against it for a second. Son of a bitch. His mom, being nosy, predictably, from the end of the hallway, leans into existence. So what was that all about? She asks excitedly. Is Jane your girlfriend now? I don't know, Dustin says. Maybe? Not yet. He's not even upset about it. They have other dates to figure it out. They'll see how things go. The end. Reader's notes. Okay, I was going to make an exaggeration about 100 years ago, but I went to go check my Tumblr messages, and actually, an actual entire whole human earthly year ago, literally 2024, I asked NB Future Boy for permission to record this podfic, and I got told, yeah, you can do that, and then I didn't do it for a year. And I have no good reason for that. I have no, like, oh, I couldn't get in the headspace, or, oh, I've been, you know, I dropped the computer, or I have no good reason. I just, like, I got permission, and then I just said, okay, I'll do it later, and then never did. And I apologize for not doing this in a timely fashion, but it is done. I love the dynamic between Dustin and Elle here. I absolutely love Robin and Steve ragging on him, and just... Please imagine, for the next 3 weeks, just any time Dustin ever walks in, Robin just being so absolutely bemused and delighted by the concept of practice dates. Just, I'm so here for that. And then turning that around on Steve, are you just practice socializing? Is that what all of your dating is? And just, oh, so good for me. Everything about the story was absolutely charming and lovely, and I don't know why it took me a whole entire year to record it, but I did, and it's done, and hopefully I did okay. Thank you so much to Envy Future Boy for giving me permission to podfic, because I did really love this. Hopefully you enjoyed my performance, my take on this. Thank you for listening. I hope you, the general you listener, enjoyed it. Have a nice day.